In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortes' story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on, overcome obstacles, and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble, and I'm your host, Jason Seward. And today I'm going to talk about a book I just read recently, and I've been referencing it quite a bit. Recently I've ramped up going on other people's podcasts being the one being interviewed rather than interviewing folks. So I've been able to talk about a lot of mindset topics and things like that, but in the last few I've been on, the conversation steered me into a direction where I got to bring up this book. It's called The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. And before I get into all that, I'm going to share with y'all JJ's joke of the week. And here we go. JJ's joke of the week. How does an ocean say hello? Think about it. It waves. That is JJ's joke of the week. So, like I said, I'm going to try to, once he gets out of school, I'm going to have him in here and try to record, get him saying the jokes and get a couple of those banked so we can put them in the podcast, because they're a lot more interesting coming from his mouth, but we're going to keep them rolling. So now back to the book, The Let Them Theory. So if anybody's ever heard of recency bias, I may be suffering from that with this book, so I want to be cautious to say what I'm about to say. But I have, for the last, I'll say 10 years, I've had a handful of books that if I'm asked about, you know, like what are my top five books or something like that, I've had a handful that have stayed at the top of the list. They are Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink, and then he had a couple other books, but the next one was Dichotomy of Leadership, I think was the name of it. But Extreme Ownership, extremely powerful, had a big impact on me. So that's at the top of the list. The next one, and these are in no particular order, but the next one was David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me. Phenomenal book, and probably those two books inspired the most change in my leadership style and my discipline and things like that than any other book I've read, podcast I've heard, movie I've watched, anything like that. The next one was the Compound Effect. And that one I've referenced, I did a weekly ramble on that about a year ago talking about it. I might do another one soon, because back when I recorded a lot of our earlier episodes, we didn't have a big audience, so not many people were hearing them, but now that's grown, and so I may circle back to all these books and talk about them. So I would say, like, if I had to list my top three books, those three would be Compound Effect, Extreme Ownership, and Can't Hurt Me. Close to those would be some of Ryan Holiday's books, Obstacle is the Way, Ego is the Enemy. Those are two that I like. But I've read this book, Mel Robbins, Can't Hurt Me, The Let Them Theory. And I am at this point ready to put that right up there with the other three I mentioned. I don't know if it caught me at a good time. It's relevant topics as I'm growing a business, as I'm trying to make personal growth and stuff like that. But this one really touched me. Now, there was a couple chapters towards the end of the book that really weren't applicable to to my situation in my life, but I was able to kind of apply the mindset that she was talking about to other things in my life. But overall, you know, the bulk of the book just hit me right in the heart and really got me thinking. I listened to the audio version, which I do most of my books, and I highly recommend, if you haven't read this book already, to do that. Get the audio version. For those of y'all that are familiar with the Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, Mel Robbins does something very similar in this book, where in between each chapter or section, she kind of does a little breakdown and kind of adds some additional context to the whatever the topic is in that particular chapter. And you won't find that in the actual paperback, hard copy or paperback version of the book. It just goes chapter to chapter. So if you're able to listen to an audio version, I recommend that. So it got me, like, the whole time I'm listening to it. Usually I'm listening while I'm working out or I'm running or walking or something like that. Like, I can't really make notes. This one was so good, I had to only listen. I went back and started it over and listened to it while I could make notes while I was listening. So I've done that, and I've kind of compiled all my notes here, and I'm going to go through couple of the topics, like the overall theme of the book, and a couple things she touched on that were impactful to me. So, first of all, the let them theory is what it sounds like. Let them. Who is them? Whoever applies in your life. It could be them. It could be a situation. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be enemies. It could be competitors. It could be boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, husbands, whoever it is. So them and the let them is really anybody in your life. And the overall theme of the book is basically like stop. It is trying to encourage folks to stop worrying so much about controlling other people's thoughts, opinions, not just controlling them, but letting those thoughts and opinion control your choices and your decisions and your anxiety and your motivation and your discipline and all those things. So that's kind of in a nutshell what it's about. But she goes into a lot of detail and uses a lot of personal examples to her life that were very comparable to things I've been through in my life. And it just hit home with me. So what I'm going to kind of, I've made some notes here and I'm pulling them up, or I've got them pulled up, just scrolling through them. So it's about a mindset shift, the let them theory. That is a mindset shift, right? Most of us waste far too much time considering what other people think of them, what other people's judgment of their actions. And that is truly a waste of time, because like the first note I have here is my reaction to someone's reaction to me is not going to necessarily change their reaction to me. So me reacting negatively or letting someone else's negative reaction to something I'm doing impact me in any way, if I spend any time on it, then I'm wasting time on something that I'm not going to change, right? So the key takeaway there is, and this is like at a high level, stop worrying so much what people think, right? And that's cliche. That's cliche. You hear that all the time. Don't let what other people think impact, or what they think impact you, to some degree. But I'm going to dive into that a little bit. So let's start with first of all, this takes a mindset shift, right? So instead of trying to control how other people think or act or feel about what you're doing, or, you know, what you're thinking or how you're presenting yourself, just let them think that. You trying to counter that in any way is detrimental to what you have going on. So just let them. That's kind of a general theme and a note I made. But this mindset, it's not a passive mindset, right? it doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional with this mindset. And it's powerful when you can be intentional with it. Since reading the book, I have been trying to practice it, like find areas in my life, in my day-to-day routine, whether it's business, personal life, whatever, that I can apply it. And I was like pleasantly surprised how many areas or how many times throughout the week I don't let them, right? I have to interject and apply my proactively apply my response to every situation when something's happening that's out of my control, which is generally what people are thinking, right? So that's it. This mindset again is not passive, it's proactive. You got to work on it, and it's powerful when you can. When you reclaim like your energy and focus by letting go of things that are outside of your control, which is generally what people think of you. Like you can't control that. You can control your actions, but you can't control their reactions to it. But when you can get to that point, it's very powerful. And this mindset is great for like people pleasers, people that are generally overthinkers. They maybe have some anxiety around different situations. And they overthink what people say to them. They overthink people's tone. They overthink, they'll read an email and apply their own tone to that email. So they're overthinking that. And then high achievers, which most folks that are consuming this podcast on a regular basis, in general, you're a high achiever, right? You're trying to achieve something higher than what you have right now or what you're doing. So these are most of the people that are, listening or trying to do something good with their life fall in these categories. They want to please everybody. They overthink everything. They're just naturally, built to put a lot of thought into the things they're doing, and they're trying to achieve something great. So with all that, they tend to put a lot of weight on what people think of them and how people and the environment around them is going to respond to their actions, right? So some key takeaways and like breaking it down a little bit. So judgment, right? People, everybody you encounter is going to have some sort of judgment on your actions and your decisions you're making, the way you handle yourself, the way you present yourself, and all that. Let them judge you, right? There, people are always going to project, and you don't need to explain yourself in detail to everyone. And this is an area of my life where, like, I've gotten much better at it, but I used to struggle, still do at times, with this where I felt like in order to get somebody to understand exactly how I felt or thought or just to like justify a decision I was making, I had to spend an extreme amount of time trying to explain it, right? And I would repeat myself over and over and over, or I would craft a very long, wordy letter or email or text just trying to explain, to articulate what's going on in my brain in hopes that they would understand it the way I'm seeing it, right? So I wasted God knows how much time doing that. And I know a lot of you listen and do that as well. You feel like you have to justify and explain everything you're doing to everyone else around you so that they pass good judgment on you, right? That gotta clean that up. That cannot be a driver, in your life. So like for me, a big one that I've gone through recently is like my transition from the corporate world working for a company into entrepreneurship, doing my real estate thing. I knew like the thing. And I'll be very transparent with this. So, I'm an open book with this stuff. But the thing that bothered me the most about that decision, it wasn't the finance behind it. I knew Katie and I would be fine. I knew our business would be fine, and it has been. I knew that I'm resourceful enough to make it, make anything work. I can figure anything out. I had a lot of confidence in myself and those around me to do that. The thing that kept me up most at night was what people were going to say about me. What, that's terrible. I'm a 40-year-old man still worried about how people were going to react to this decision. Like I was playing this in my head of people reacting and talking about me at the dinner table, like, what the hell is Jason doing? What is he doing? He's got this great career. He's making great income, working for a great company, great benefits. What in the hell is he doing? And that those conversations, knowing they were happening, was influencing my decision around leaving my job because I knew when I did it, people were going to talk this way. Now I got over that quickly because I this book actually helped me take another step, but I had already taken a couple big steps. But at the end of the day, it's my decision. It's my world, my life, my family. And I'm doing what I believe in my heart is best for me. So I can't let folks and their opinions and their side conversations when I'm not around, whatever they are, I can't let them have an influence on me. I can't. Whether those conversations are good or bad, I can't even let it into my brain. I wasn't. I was letting all of them into my brain for a while. But when I got over that, I had a lot more peace around what I was doing, and I was much more productive with my focus and decisions, right? So that was a big one for me. There's a quote from the book that I wrote down or I made a note of. Their opinion of you is none of your business, right? So all those folks that I was worried about talking behind my back about my decision and questioning and talking bad about me and, oh my God, he's going to ruin his finances and ruin his family and all that stuff. That's none of my business. It really is none of my business. If you're being honest with yourself, you've been in the shoes where you've talked about somebody's situation. I know I have, and you don't know all the context. You don't know what's going on in their brain and their heart and their family and stuff like that. But you've made it a point to talk about it with somebody else, not having all the context. I've been guilty of that, and I know others do it about me. And honestly, I love this quote. Their opinion of me is none of my business. It's not my business, right? So that was a powerful quote. So another powerful thing she talked about is letting them leave. Let them leave. And what she's referring to there is it could be friends, it could be family, it could be business partners, it could be clients, it could be employees. If they choose to leave your life, or leave being a part of what you are doing and what you are committed to, let them. You don't have to fight. I mean, in some cases it might be worth fighting for or, trying to convince them that, hey, stick around. But a lot of times people leave silently and that could be they're not calling as much, they're not hanging out as much. That's fine. Let them do their thing. I learned this years ago with my, it was a family situation. And I'm going to share it because, I think it's good sometimes with I'm recording all these episodes, but I do like sharing, kind of getting in depth with my situation. So a situation where I had to apply this, like let them leave, was with my father. So a lot of times, I mean, I'm 43 right now, and still it's hard for me to talk about my dad, the relationship we had and all of that. So as I'm doing this, and I didn't make any notes of this, and I didn't plan on talking about it, but it's relevant to this topic. But I want to preface it with I do tend to get a little emotional when I talk about my dad and stuff like that. My dad passed away 5 years ago. He's no longer with us. Go back 38 years prior to that, which was all the time I've been on this earth with my dad. First 8 to 10 years were great. I thought he was my superhero, amazing from my perspective, right? I'm a 8, 10-year-old kid that had a dad that took him hunting, played ball with him. My dad was a present, like he was around. And then he probably had issues going on. I know he did, but far before I was noticing it. But my dad got wrapped up into drugs, alcohol, and drugs, and got into some pretty hard drugs, and then made some very poor decisions that ultimately led to him and my mother getting divorced, and my mother basically raising us on her own for many years. So, where I'm going with this is for many, many years, my dad came in and back out of our lives. He would go to jail for decisions he made. He'd get arrested, locked up for a couple years. He would write letters. I'm writing him back. I'm a teenager now, and I'm like, you know, he's going to come back around. He's going to be good one day. He'd come back out, be good for 6 months. I'm happy. We got a good relationship. And then, boom, screws up again, back in jail. This went on all through my teenage years and into my adult life. When I had my daughter, I was 30 years old. I made a decision that because of all the pain I endured and the rest of my family endured with him coming in and out, I wasn't going to subject my my kids to that. So my dad, I think he met my daughter Emma one time, never met JJ. Like I said, sometimes these things get me, and I'm going to try to get through it, but I had to make a decision to let him go. By letting him go, I avoided, you know, he still lived in the town for, after Emma was born. Again, he died like 8 years after that. He still lived in our hometown. So I knew he was around. I would hear people say, "Hey, I saw Buzz. Your dad, my dad's name was Buzz. Saw him the other day. I saw your dad. He's looking good." And I had to make a decision to not go there. I wasn't going to reengage with him because he had 30 years prior or 25 years prior, he had proven that he was in and out. And sure enough, he was still involved with, right up to the date of his death, he was still involved with drugs, still making bad choices, and ultimately has passed away. That's not easy to let someone leave like that, right? Now, he didn't necessarily leave, but I left myself. Like, I just separated from the situation. And that's about as close to home as it gets for me. That's my father. But that can apply to a lot of situations, right? People change. Your friends, your family, again, your business partners, clients, employees, you name it, things change. And if it changes in a way where they need to leave or you need to leave the situation, let it happen. Let them leave. So that was a powerful part of the book for me, because it made me reflect on that with my father and, you know, how I had to make that decision. And I don't know if it was the right decision. Like, the reason I get so emotional is because I see so much of my dad from a personality standpoint and both of my kids, right? And I've got a lot of his personality. And it just hurts me sometimes that he didn't get to see that. But that's just part of it. Don't know if I made the right decision there, but I'm at more peace knowing that I didn't expose my kids to that in and out. Like, granddad's, you know, granddaddy Buzz is here one day and then he's gone for 6 months and then he's back again. And I just didn't want to subject them to that. So, moving on from that, and I'm sorry I got a little emotional there. Another note I made is just let them talk. And this is a big one, because all of us, to some degree, put a lot of weight on what people are saying about us, right? About what, and I kind of alluded to this earlier with, you know, me leaving my job. I knew people were talking about it. The way it was. But people are going to gossip about you. They're going to gossip about your decisions. They're going to add their own spin to whatever's going on without all the context. They're going to doubt you. They're going to criticize you. People are, to put it bluntly, they're going to run their mouths about what you're doing. And sometimes it's going to be in a negative way. So what? Let them do it. Because at the end of the day, it is, if you give that any attention or put any of your energy towards like responding to that or, you know, worrying about that, it is going to stop your momentum, right? So if you respond, so like, let's say, I mean, I hear it all the time, you know, I heard it recently. I heard that this, I just thought of this example because it just happened a couple weeks ago. I was talking to a very good friend of mine that we've been friends since we were kids. And I was updating him on what we were doing in the business and how things were going. He was excited. He's like, "Man, I knew y'all would make it. I knew y'all would be fine. I just knew it. you had that grit, blah, blah, blah. He was saying all positive things. He said, what's funny is, this is him talking. He said, I've got a friend that I went to college with that knows y'all kind of, I know this guy. Don't know him well, but I know of him. But he said, he's in a financial advisor, I think, for, one of the big financial firms. But he was telling his friend what we were doing, kind of excited about it. And he says his friend just laughed at us. He's like, that's stupid. That's a dumb idea, and laughed at what we were doing. So, like, normally I'd be like, man, like, it's not stupid. I want to talk to this guy. I want to explain myself. But nothing I say to that individual, number one, if I change his mind, so what? What does it matter? He has nothing to do with what I have going on. So I was told this literally after I read this book. Like, I just read this book within the last couple of weeks, and I immediately went, okay, that's fine, that's great. I'd probably laugh at somebody doing the same thing if I didn't know much about it. So I get it, and I literally did not spend 1 second thinking about it until right now. I was reminded of it as I'm talking through this. So that is an example of, like, somebody literally, at the end of the day, like, if you're gonna laugh at somebody trying to do something, and be successful at something, that's on you. Like, that's on them, and I can't worry about that. So, again, people are gonna run their mouths and have their opinions and gossip and doubt you and criticize you. Let them do it. Don't spend a second on worrying about it. When you respond to stuff like that, it kind of gives that reaction that they have, or that doubt or criticism, a little bit of power. If you're silent about it and you don't respond, kind of gives yourself and the situation peace. It never goes anywhere. Let folks be wrong. You don't have to defend your decisions to anyone. It doesn't. This was a quote from the book. It said, "Clarity doesn't require consensus." I love that. That says it all. But especially in business, like, you don't have to stop wasting your time trying to convince others what you're doing is the best decision. Just execute. Just do the thing you're trying to do and move on, and let them be wrong. Or hell, they might end up being right. But either way, who cares? Like, their opinion and their, I guess, perspective or perception or whatever you want to call it of what you're doing has no influence on you. They have no way to influence you. So, the only way they can influence you is you reacting to that opinion. And then, kind of in the same breath, let them not support you. Some people do not like seeing other people be successful. As sad as that sounds, some people are just, they're not going to cheer for you when you win. They're not. And so let them not cheer. And if that's the case, oh well. If you put any thought or energy into that, then you're playing into their game. Some people just have that negative approach where anybody just doing better than them, they look down on it, and let them. I heard a quote one time. It wasn't from the book. I hear it quite often, but you've never heard someone that's doing that has a lot of success talk negatively about people behind them, right? And a good example would be, like, Michael Jordan. Did Michael Jordan spend any time gossiping or thinking about somebody that was, not as good as him in the NBA? No, he focused on winning and winning only, and what he could, his input into that. So, some real world application. I've kind of talked about it a little bit, but a lot of this is, like, the theme of this podcast, burn the ships, burning the ships. This mindset is kind of burning the emotional ships of needing validation, right? So we all want validation from everybody in our world. You don't need it. Just stop. Just burn the ships. Let it go. You don't need it. Just commit to what you're doing and do it well. Surround yourself with good mentors, that their input does matter and they can influence you positively. But all the other stuff is just BS and noise and a waste of focus and time. And then a big one is, I'm gonna go through a couple because I put a business note on here. It goes back to what I just said. Focus on execution, not applause. So you don't need people cheering from you. Sure, it feels great, but focus on executing, and that's it. Family, I talked about that. I don't need to really elaborate any more on that. Social media, that's a big one. I have had the hardest time getting comfortable because y'all see it a lot. I mean, with this podcast and what we're doing in business, we've got several posts going out every single day. And it was hard for me to do that because I didn't care about what the posts were saying. I was worried so much about what people were thinking about me posting so much. And who cares? Like, if somebody's gonna have an opinion about me posting so much, let them. I had a hard time getting there, but that's an important thing. So, let them unfollow you, let them talk about you, let them roll your eyes. I like don't be there for the dopamine hit you get when somebody likes or shares your stuff. Just keep putting it out there. Somebody's getting value from it. So, I guess I'll close it up now because I've gone for 30 minutes and I could go on for another 30 about this book. But the let them that mindset, if applied appropriately, it can really be life changing. I really believe that. I'm feeling it myself since I've read the book and trying to apply it. I made a note here and it came from the book, but when you stop managing other people's reactions, you get to fully show up for your own life. Think about that. You stop managing other people's reactions, you get to fully show up for your own life. Fully showing up for your own life means you're not spending so much time worrying about what other people think and trying to manage that, right? And influence that. And I'll kind of give like a call to action, a final call to action this week or over the next few weeks when someone does something that triggers you or that normally would make you react and respond and waste time on it. Take a breath, pause, and say to yourself, let them. Just try it. Other homework and call to action is go listen to this book or read this book because I think you'll have as much, maybe even more, depending on where you're at in life and business and all that. But it's going to have a powerful impact. So the Let Them Theory, Mel Robbins, again, I cannot recommend it enough. I've kind of rambled through a lot of things and gone on a couple tangent here that I hadn't planned for this ramble. But I do appreciate you guys bearing with me as I work through it and as I got a little emotional. I apologize for that, but that's one area in my life when I talk about my family, my dad, my mom, my wife, my kids, the emotions can come up pretty quick. So appreciate y'all following along and being patient with me as I work through that. So that'll wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble, and I will talk to you guys next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.